Paralysis by analysis. That's what you get from the other guys. But not here. Not now. Not ever. This is the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA, with a deep look inside the game. The Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA is broadcasting live from Spectrum Field in Clearwater, Florida, and is brought to you in part by SEPTA, BCWSA, Rob's Automotive, Vince Siriani and GMH Mortgage, Marriott Suites in Clearwater Beach, Harris Comfort, Penn Community Bank, McCaffrey Supermarkets, Peruzzi Auto Group, Keenan's in North Wildwood, and the Southern Ocean County Chamber of Commerce. We now go live to Spectrum Field in Clearwater, Florida for the Baseball Insider Show. Here are your hosts, Chris Wheeler and John Brazier.
Joined by my co-host down here, not Chris Wheeler, he was last week. Sorry, my co-host right now, because the great Tom Burgoyne, who is the best friend of the Philly fanatic, and how dare we don't have a promo for you, Tom.
I'm offended.
How are you doing? Does this mean I'm not going to get paid either? As a fanatic, well, you get paid in kind, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. How you doing?
I'm doing great, John. That was a great win.
That was a great win. We're going to talk about it today. Did the fanatic have a good day today?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a sellout here at Spectrum Field. You know, the Red Sox always have a great following. So it was pretty cool. You know, all the seats were filled. You know, the concourse packed, the berm packed. And it's funny. You know, the Red Sox fans usually bring it,
right?
You know, when it comes to having fun with the fanatics. So we had a lot of fun today.
Well, also, we had Kevin Gregg, who used to be PR, now runs PR for the Red Sox. And this person was introduced out there. It's funny to see Ruben Amaro Jr. as the third base coach. We're not used to seeing him in uniform. We saw him, obviously, when he played for the Phillies. But to see him in uniform and wearing the – it's funny. Or even just wearing – he used to wear a hat, obviously. And he's wearing a batting helmet out there at third base.
Yeah, third
base.
He got
a smattering of applause and booth. But I tell you what, and we can get into this later, he should be getting some applause, because some of the trades now that are starting to – who had the walk-off hit today? Or walk-off sacrifice?
Tommy Joseph.
Tommy Joseph. How did we get Tommy Joseph?
Hunter Pence.
That's exactly right. Who made that trade?
That would be Ruben Amaro.
Ben Lively, who came in to pitch today, our minor league pitcher of the year. We got him from Marlon Byrd. You know, that was a nondescript trade at the time. Nick Pivetta, who's pitching for Italy – we got him for Papelbon. Nick Pivetta is one of our big prospects. Valentin is at a good camp. And we have another guy, Arano. We got him for the Roberto Hernandez trade.
Yeah.
Again, that one under the radar. That's not to say Alfaro,
right,
who had a home run today to
Cole
tie up
Hamels
in the Dominican
trade.
Republic,
sure.
Who's one of the top prospects, along with Eichhoff, along with, I mean, on and on, Jake Thompson and Nick Williams. And then the Giles trade. So our farm system is, thankfully, because of most of the work of the third base coach of the Red Sox.
Yeah, no question, John. And it's cool to hear Matt Klentak. He acknowledges that readily, you
right.
know. And he thinks Ruben, you know, he really gave him a nice head start when Matt took over. Now, we also have to clarify that Ruben is still going to be the first base coach. I think he
right.
was just
third
subbing
base today.
At third base. But I'm bummed.
They must have missed somebody because of the World Baseball Classic. Like, we're missing Sam.
No, their normal third base coach had surgery,
okay.
I believe. So so Ruben was just filling in for a little bit. But, yeah, I'm bummed that nobody alerted the Fanatic. The Fanatic totally, you know, not thinking at all. And forgetting that Ruben was, you know, on the field now with the Red Sox, because I think the Fanatic would have had a little fun with the pregame.
Fanatic is not good at pre-planning, is he?
He goes with the flow, John. The planning is not his forte.
All right. Well, Tom, we got a great show today planned for you at beautiful Spectrum Field. We want to find out about what the Fanatic's been up to this spring and discuss some of the giveaways, because I know there's some great giveaways featuring the Fanatic. We're going to talk about spring training season, some of the roster battles taking place. We're going to talk about a amphibious trade that took place today. I don't know if you heard that. I know you were hanging out all day
an
with the
Fanatic. Amphibious or ambidextrous?
Well, Shaq O'Neal once asked, they said, you know, are you as good shooting the right hand as your left hand? He said, yes, I'm amphibious.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so Pat Verditti, who is the only ambidextrous pitcher out there, we'll talk about Pat Verditti. I guess I'm saying that right. He's pitching for Team Italy. When he's done the tournament, he's going to report here as a non-roster minor league signing, but we'll see him in camp. So it'll be fun to talk about. And we'll talk about the WBC, because it's been really exciting. In fact, again, Alfaro hit a home run to tie the game. Not sure where it is, but maybe we can give you an update on that. So we'll talk about that. But first, let's bring our guest today. You heard our guest, Scott Fransky, on the radio obviously today. And here he is right here. What's up, Scott?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great.
Great.
Now, is this one? I know spring training games are different from regular season games. is it still fun to call, especially like today with the walk-off win?
Yes, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't have quite the same, you know. We have buttons. We have
I know, coffee, I know. You
can, yeah. It doesn't have quite the same thrill as a regular season walk-off win, but, a win is a win, and we'll take it. And rather win than lose, that's for sure.
We were talking earlier that the third base coach has to get credit for a lot of the talent that we have out there, especially at the minor league level, Tommy Joseph in particular. Tommy Joseph came in the Penn trade. Right. So it's kind of nice. You got a little smattering of boos and applause, right?
Yeah, yeah. Most of these guys
are Ruben.
Are a result of Ruben. I mean, you know, Ben Lively pitched a good bit of that game, and Ben Lively was acquired in a trade that Ruben and his guys did. So, there's no question his fingerprints are still all over this organization. And I saw him a little bit before the game, talked to him briefly, and he looks good. He's happy. And, you know, still living in the Delaware Valley, still living in the area. And,
I get some Ruben sightings from friends of mine throughout the.
Yeah, he has some family and friends at the game today, and he grew up in the organization, so he's always going to be pretty close to the organization, you know.
So when you're doing spring training games, you probably have to do a little more research. A, the roster is at 50, whatever it is right now.
Right.
B, you're dealing with minor league guys that you normally wouldn't know anything about, so you've got to do some research on certain guys. Whereas the regular season. You know, guys will get caught up here and there, and you have time to do research on one or two guys, but here it's more of a...
Yeah, and I think, one of the things here is that there are so many players that you're not going to see during the regular season, so you can follow a few different storylines that you won't get into during the season. You're not going to burn them out. And then, but the other thing about it is, I tend to look at it as being a thing where you sort of, as long as you stay organized enough,
right?
It's not so much the research; it's being able to get organized and because a guy's going to have two at bats in a game,
right?
So it's not like you need four or five at bats worth of material to talk about a guy,
right?
Because you do all these notes and prepare a certain way, and then they're out of the game in the third inning. So,
but you're talking to the coaches, you're talking to Matt Stairs,
talking
to guys. You know, especially about the guys that you don't maybe have as much information about.
Yeah, and another thing is you might spend a morning talking to them about one player who then doesn't play in that game.
Right.
And we don't do every broadcast, so the writers, the way they cover the team, they all have stories to produce every single day. We don't have that. And so they're covering all the different storylines, and they're getting to this player and that player, and they're kind of going around the diamond and getting everything. And we can't always get to it all because we don't do every single game. And like I said, you might have some great stuff on Howie Kendrick, but he's, for whatever reason, just the games you're doing or the games that he's not playing in,
right,
or whatever, something like that. So, it takes a little prep to have a little something on everybody, as for when you get to use it, you might have to wait a while.
Yeah, I remember I heard in pregame, Scott, you looked at the lineup, you're like, yeah, who are these guys?
Yeah,
in reference to the Red Sox.
Yeah, and then it gets to be challenging late in a game when a lot of the really young guys, and we've seen a lot of that, and a little bit of that has to do, I think, with the World Baseball Classics.
Right.
It seems like there's a greater number of guys that come over from minor league camp, not really for the Phillies. We haven't seen any guys from minor league camp. They've got enough, guys in big league camp. They haven't really had to dip too far down yet. But, in Toronto, yesterday they had six minor league players. Just straight away in the game for the last three innings. So, you're getting to talk about the need in Blue Jays a lot.
Oftentimes their names aren't on the back. Oftentimes when you're playing the Yankees, which we play several times in spring training, not only do they not have the names on the back, not only are their numbers big in the camp, but they also have like 25 numbers that are retired. So you might have three guys on the roster that are number 75.
Right.
Right? And you've got to basically figure out which 75 is coming in.
And the way they change and they make changes, and some of these, some press boxes are better than others. And, I'm not trying to get on anybody, but, you go to the press box in Dunedin, it's the oldest ballpark we do a game in. Spring training, and sometimes we don't get the announcements of who has changed. So we have to really kind of be aware of what's going on in between innings and make sure,
and
we help each other out.
What are you doing in that case?
Well, we had a player in a game in Dunedin a week and a half or so ago,
and they had not taken him out of the game but moved him to another position. And we didn't know – we actually didn't know where he was playing. And he was coming up to bat, and the public address announcer for the stadium is right next to us.
Right.
And there's a window between the two booths so you can look in and see what they're doing. And I kind of put my hand up to Larry, and I said, well, just wait a second, and we'll hear what the PA announcer says. He's going to say, now batting the whatever
right.
position,
right.
Jonathan Diaz. Well, he says, now batting Jonathan Diaz. And I hear him off the air throw his hands up in the air and say, I don't know where he's playing. And so we said, well, we don't know either. So we had to wait for the next half inning for him to go back out. And,
Larry didn't shout out to the crowd. Anybody help me?
No, he shouted out on the air, hey, John, where are you playing?
I'm assuming John did not hear.
No.
Right. This is before he pulled out all the plugs on the broadcast.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, the other challenge, too, Scott, is you have players in the offseason who you think you know, and then you see them, and I think Sandoval dropped about 100 pounds or so.
Yeah, he looks a lot different.
He does. And he had a great start to the game, but, yeah, he looks like he's ready to.
You know, this is a time in spring training you're going to see, like, the Red Sox today had Carlos Quinton. Now, he hasn't played in a big league game since 2014. He was retired.
Right.
He was done. And, I have a kind of a digital notebook that I keep, and I have a lot of players, a page on a lot of players. And so a lot of times in spring training, I have to search for his page, let's say. And I usually keep them. Even if a guy goes to Japan, I'll just keep them in a separate book.
Right.
And, if they come back, I'll give it about a year. And if you've retired, then I delete your page. So Carlos Quinton has no page anymore. I mean, he's a guy with
–
yeah, I just deleted him, and now he's back trying to make a comeback or whatever.
Do you have your pages on, in case you're covering the World Baseball Classic, on Eric Gagne or Ryan Dempster?
They would have been long
or
gone.
Or Bruce Chen?
Right, all long gone. All long gone.
What do you think of the World Baseball Classic?
Well, you know, I've never spent a whole lot of time watching it, and for whatever reason last night – I watched some of the U.S. and the Dominican. I turned it on, and they were up, whatever, 5-0.
5-0 they were up. Yep.
And more than anything, I wanted to start watching because of the way – I mean, just that lineup for the Dominican Republic is just
– oh, stacked.
It's unbelievable.
Right.
And I just – I think it's cool that there's some energy in that ballpark. It's a shame.
Yeah, it looked like a home game for Dominican Republic.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, they talk about how loud it was in there, and that was with the roof open.
Right.
You know, and we go there all the time.
Yeah,
like
attendance?
Do
you know
sometimes.
what did they draw?
It was 37 plus, but that's totally full. Their ballpark only holds that much. That's the biggest crowd they've ever had for a baseball game.
Oh,
there.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. I haven't spent a lot of time in years past watching it. Again, it's usually going on during spring training, so I've got my hands full with this. But I was kind of, I was taken in by it. The moment there for Nelson Cruz to hit the home run off Andrew Miller. And I thought it was kind of cool.
I think the storylines with Team Israel 4-0, you've got Team Italy doing well. You know, it's fun. Like for me, we get up, early in the morning down here, and it's fun to turn on the TV at 7 in the morning and catch the 7th
inning. See a live baseball
game.
Yeah,
so you're watching,
Japan,
Korea taking on Australia. So it's been a lot of fun. All right, before we let you go, your thoughts on some of the young guys down here or in camp in general?
I think if you're a Phillies fan or somebody in the organization, you got to be pleased. You got to be excited about what they've done. And, almost to a man, they've all been comfortable. They don't seem scared. They don't seem overwhelmed. Even if it's their first big league camp, it's obvious that the talent level is increasing year by year, and it's obvious they have a lot more talent, a lot more depth, a lot more competition for jobs than they did in the last couple of years. So I'm pleasantly surprised. I think I've kind of been surprised and pleasantly so that there's so much talent.
And it's pushing the guys that, were on the team last year. So
yeah.
I'm sure Freddie's feeling a little heat with the talk of J.P. Crawford. I'm sure Cesar is feeling some heat on Scotty Jetpacks and Valentin.
Well, and I think those are all good things.
It's all good things.
Those
you're
are
exactly
all
right.
good things to have competition. And, it's not even the – whether it's that. I mean, the competition for, say, the last couple of spots on the bench.
We saw one guy out here at Nava today that's pushing for a spot against Coughlin and against, other guys that are out there.
And you've got your mix of veteran guys like a Nava or a Coughlin who've been around and have major league experience versus younger players that provide a certain something, and whether it's a versatility or ability or whatever. But a Brock Stassi, he's been really, really good. You know, Andrew Knapp certainly has a chance. I think there's competition all around it, and the rotation depth is much better. I can't say in the games I've watched, I've seen a ton out of the rotation yet. Vince Velasquez was terrific yesterday. Aaron Nola got off to a bit of a shaky start today, but recovered.
Yeah, and six strikeouts.
You can still see he's got a lot of ability and knocking off some of the rust of being down for so long. So I just think it's great that they've added so much depth and so much competition at really almost every spot. So I think it's on the way up.
Good. Scott, we'll let you fight the traffic down to Clearwater Beach.
All right.
Because down here, it's,
happy
it's
to
not,
do so.
It's not fun, is it? Well, there's so much fun about this place, but man, on weekend traffic is, but if that's the toughest complaint you have,
let me tell you something, pal. I spend every day on the Schuylkill Expressway. I can handle it.
I think I can handle it, too. I spend every day on the Schuylkill Expressway. So that's Scott Fransky, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Coming up on the show, we will talk with Tom Burgoyne about the game today and get the Fanatics viewpoint as well. You're listening to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. We are live from Clearwater, Florida.
We now return to Spectrum Field in Clearwater, Florida for the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. Now, here are your hosts,
the friend of the Philly Fanatic, Tom Burgoyne, and John Brazier.
That Jack Irvin, right on top of it.
Jack, I love you, man.
We are back to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA, and as Jack said, it is Tom Burgoyne, my co-host, very best friend of the Philly Fanatic. He's been the best friend for about 30 years or
long
so.
Long time. Yeah.
But we are here live, presented by SEPTA at Spectrum Field, Clearwater, Florida, after a walk-off win against the Red Sox. So a very exciting spring training game down here. I'll give you a little wrap-up in case you missed it. But the Phils get into a deficit 3-0 thanks to Panda. We talked about him earlier, but the Panda is now a svelter Panda, Pablo Sandoval. So, but he hit a home run that helped get ahead on Nola. Nola, not a bad start. He did give up the home run, which counted for most two of the runs. 3.1 innings pitched. He had 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 0 walks, 6 Ks. He did give up that one home run to Panda. And he's coming off an injury, so he's struggling a little bit with a 6.14 ERA this spring. Phils get one back. We get some RBIs. Well, first of all, Roman Quinn hit a blast, which was nice to see, a solo home run. He hit that right-handed, and then later on he had a big hit, single left-handed, and stole a base. We scored 3 runs off the bottom, and the bottom of the 5th off Craig Kimbrell, tying the game. So it's interesting, Tom, that you have a guy who's normally the closer, and one of the best closers in the game, obviously, is with the Braves for all these years. And a friend of mine asked me, he said, why would he come in the 5th inning? Well, again, these guys are just trying to get their work in. And if you're a closer, you're running on adrenaline. Sorry about that. I'm battling a little bit of spring cold down here. You're running on adrenaline. So, A, it's spring training, so he's not, he's used to more coming in the 9th. He's a veteran, so he's working on his pitches. C, these guys work on adrenaline, so when they're used to coming in 9th inning to save a game, it's not the same coming in the 5th inning trying to get you working. So, this guy's a Red Sox fan. I said, don't panic on Kimbrell. Spring training's a little different. You got to look there. They might be working on a pitch.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is he's facing maybe some more of the starting line.
Right, coming in the 5th.
Yeah, he's
right.
Not facing minor league guys. But, I don't miss Kimbrell at all, John. I'm glad he's the American League.
Right. Hernandez, Kendrick, and Saunders all with RBIs. The big story, though, was Nava.
Yeah.
Nava, there's a guy that hasn't played too much down here. He's a guy that has Major League Baseball experience, played with the Red Sox. Went 4-for-4. He's hitting .476 this spring, and he had a triple today. So, here's a guy that's, I've talked to some people that knew him very well. Said he's a total gamer, he's a scrapper, but he's going to be, it's interesting, some of these battles in camp, because he is, we talked about Chris Coughlin. Chris Coughlin, we have to make a decision on him by the end of March, or else we have to release him. Chris Coughlin played on the Cubs last year, Rookie of the Year for the Marlins. But we also have some other guys in camp that, again, Brock Stassi is having a phenomenal camp. He's a guy that's more of a first baseman, but he's got the versatility of playing outfield. Nava can't play, can't play first base like Mustafi can. So there's, Aaron Altair's in the mix.
Then you got some
of the rookies like Dylan Cousins and Nick Williams that are pushing, or Cameron Perkins.
Those guys, I think, definitely are going to be ticketed for AAA. Roman Quinn, they've already said.
But Roman Quinn has a great spring, and they want to have, instead of veteran, they want to say, you know what, we can get Roman Quinn in a lot of games. We use his speed because he's the fastest guy in the organization. Now, that's probably not going to happen because I think they're going to want to get him more at bats, and he's not going to make the starting lineup in the outfield. You've got Barrera in center, you got Kendrick in left, and you've got Saunders in right. But, again, at some point, he could. What he brings to the table, you can't.
Yeah, I think there's no question. I mean, that Triple-A team is going to be so stacked, and they're going to be watching those guys the first 2 months of the season, and we're going to see how the guys who are playing at the big level are playing. And if those guys are ready to go, I don't think they're going to hesitate to bring them up, pull the trigger and bring some of those guys up.
Well, let's look at that potential lineup in AAA. You're right, because a lot of these guys might have been in AA last year. But in the outfield, you're probably going to have Cousins, Nick Williams, and Roman Quinn. That is a very, very, very talented outfield. You got a guy who led all minor league baseball in home runs in Cousins. You've got Nick Williams, who's just scratching the surface. He's got a lot of tools. Then you got Roman Quinn. We talked about him with power and speed. You go to the infield. Now, I guess they're probably going to start Taylor Featherston, who's, he's in our camp right now. He'll probably be the third base. Shortstop is going to be J.P. Crawford. Second base will be Valentin, whose dad was Jose Valentin, right? I think it was Jose Valentin, a longtime major league player who we got in the Roberto Hernandez trade. First base could very well be either Brock Stassi, or it could be Rhys Hoskins with 39 home runs last year. Catcher would be Alfaro for the most part. I mean, look at that lineup right there.
That's awesome.
That's a really good lineup. Yeah. And then you look at the rotation, and it could be one of like seven guys. So think about this. You've got, could be Pivetta, could be Jake Thompson, could be Zach Eflin, could be Alec Asher, it could be Morgan. Adam Morgan, it could be.
I think Adam Morgan's going to make the big.
Could be, yes, but it could be. If he doesn't, they don't have him as a swingman on the major league camp. You got Mark Appel, former draft pick, overall. You got Ricardo Pinto. I mean, that there's going to be some guys that are going to now go from there to Double A. There'll be a surplus, so it's really nice to have that. Someone gets hurt. I'm not going to knock on wood, not get hurt. But let's say someone gets just has to sit out a couple games. It'd be nice to pull up some guy. It could be Morgan coming to the rotation, who has major league baseball experience. It could be Eflin, who's got experience in the majors. Thompson, who's got experience in the majors. Asher, who's got experience in the majors. You're not just kind of pulling somebody up and just hoping that they're going to do well.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, you buy your tickets now for those Iron Pick games.
Right.
It's awesome.
That's not to say Double A still will be stacked.
True.
So, I think it's really exciting times. People always ask me, what's this year going to be like? And I said, I wouldn't concentrate on the wins and losses as much. And I know it's tough because you want to, you never know in baseball. But I tell you what, you'd love to see, in a perfect scenario, you'd love to see Franco keep making steps. You'd like to see Herrera, keep improving. You'd see Hernandez keep improving. Tommy Joseph, see if we can build off last year. Seeing Rupp, or who's going to push Rupp, and seeing some of the young starters. So it's all about development and growth this year. And then sky's the limit.
Yeah, and I think the key is going to be the guys who are our veterans now, the guys who now have a year or two under their belt, and guys we're counting on, the Francos,
right.
Herreras, the Hernandez, Galvis. Those guys really, I think, they know what's at the Triple-A level.
Right.
And it really is going to be interesting to see how they respond. It bodes well for the future. We didn't even talk about the low minor leagues. They say Clearwater, Lakewood, and even our Gulf Coast League. I know it's short season in Williamsport, but apparently there's a lot of just great town at the lower level.
Especially a lot of Latino pitchers.
Yeah, yeah.
Alberto Tirado, another guy we got at a trade that really didn't make headlines. That Ruben made, but it was for Ben Revere.
Mm.
So again, we traded Ben Revere. Everyone's like, all right, what do we get back? We got Jimmy Cordero. He's no longer. We use him as a trade chip. And Tirado. And Tirado's got a live arm. He was in camp for a little bit. Actually, I think he still might be in camp. And then another name, with this name, you got to make it. Sixto Sanchez.
Sanchez, yeah,
Sixto
heard about
Sanchez.
Him. I think he was a shortstop, John. He was drafted as a shortstop, and they converted him into a pitcher. The guy throws 96. I think he had a game last year where he threw 19 first strike, first strike, 19 straight batters. And the guy was a shortstop, but apparently he is rising in the depth chart, you know, in our minor league system. Yeah, so
Sixto. And even some of the number one draft picks, and Mickey Moniak, the
Number
one pick overall, they love him, And he was obviously very young. I guess he might start at Lakewood this year, or
yeah, I think it's going to be Lakewood, John.
I think it's going to start Lakewood, so it'll be exciting to see. And Randolph, we got the year before, and they love his hitting.
Yeah,
he got a little hurt last year, so again, there's just a lot of numbers down there, so it's gonna be fun to follow these guys as they come up.
Absolutely.
So it's Matt Klintak, you know, he said. If I had realized that we'd make this much progress this quickly, I would have taken this job even quicker, or would have, I would have signed on just without even batting an eye.
Yeah, you know what's really cool, John? You know, it's we've been with the Phillies a long time, and we have jobs with the Phillies that we really it's our job to kind of feel the pulse of the fans, and what the fans are thinking. And we all grew up in the 70s at the Vet, and and beyond that. But, I think there's a real excitement with the fans. You know, I think back in the day it would be, oh, the Phillies, they stink, or they're not spending money. Well, I think the fans, whether it's they're knowledgeable or they're just excited about this turn, but I think people understand that, our payroll's not going to be at the top of the league. But, Andy McPhail on a number of occasions has said, we have money to spend. But you got to spend it at the right time. And it's pretty cool, I think, that the fans, kind of get it and are excited.
I love the fact that we are 30 out of 30 baseball teams in money committed after this year. The only long-term contract we have is Herrera, who's young, and that's money well spent. And it wasn't even not breaking the bank. So I love the fact that Klintak did a lot of one-year deals with Howie Kendrick, with Buchholz, with Saunders. That guys that can provide experience that aren't going to hamstring the development of guys like Dylan Cousins or some of the young pitchers. So as you said, when it's time to spend, we'll know this year we'll know exactly what we're getting with Franco. We'll know exactly what we're getting with Hernandez. We'll know what we're getting with Tommy Joseph. We'll know the development of Cousins and Nick Williams and Roman Quinn. And based on what happens there, some guys will fall off. Some guys will do better than expected. Some guys will do as expected. But then that will say, you know what? Maybe we should go out and get a Bryce Harper. Maybe we should go out and get a Kershaw. Maybe we should go out and get a Manny Machado. Maybe we should go out. Or do we wait until 2019 and we're another crop of great players?
Yeah.
So, or if wishful thinking, maybe you somehow wait till the Angels get out of the playoffs and realize they're just going to be.
We are fans.
They're 2 years away or 3 years away from spending too much money to re-up them. And we get that hometown hero.
Well, and
hero.
Also, with all with all that depth, there's the potential of trades too. You know, we're pretty stacked throughout the minor leagues. But listen, John, I heard you earlier. You said wins and losses this year. But you never know in baseball,
know.
Like you said. And I remember this is the one little comparison I'll make. I remember we finished in last place in 1992.
Yep.
And there were a lot of high-priced free agents, big name free agents that were out there, and we went out and got Pete Incolfilia, Texas Rangers outfielder, and a guy nobody heard of, Jim Eisenreich, to handle our corner outfield. And I remember when they made those moves, I'm like, man, Incolfilia, it averages 25 home runs a year. It's like he might be pretty good. And so we got Kendrick and Saunders, who I think are going to help the lineup. They're certainly going to help the young players. But you just never know.
Never know. That's the beauty of baseball. All right, coming up on the show, I want to talk a little bit about the World Baseball Classic, but also want to talk some Fanatics. You are the best friend of the Fanatic, and we'll get some inside perspective on the Fanatics' experiences down here in spring training. You are listening to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA. We are live from Clearwater, Florida.
We now return to Spectrum Field in Clearwater, Florida for the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. Now, here are your hosts.
A friend of the Philly Fanatic, Tom Burgoyne and John Brazier.
There he is, the voice of Jack Urban. Thank you, Jack. We are back The Baseball Insider Show presented by Scepter. We are live from Spectrum Field in Clearwater, Florida, following the Phils' walk-off win against the Boston Red Sox. A fun game today down in spring training. In fact, I'm looking out the window right now doing the post-game show, and Frenchie's Tiki Hut and Pavilion is packed right now.
Top.
Which is great about this ballpark, that after the game, the people are at Frenchie's the whole game. Big thatched roof. You've seen it on TV when the Phillies play. But that bar will be, that Tiki Pavilion will be crowded for another, probably time for another hour. Usually have entertainment out there. They've got very good entertainment out there. There's TVs in the bar, and so people are, there's college basketball games. I mean, next Thursday is the most fun, starting at noon, because that's when the NCAA tournament starts, and you'll see that place screaming, especially if Villanova's playing, you know, during our game.
Yeah, it's a fun time of year. I guess it's our, I'm always on every year with you, John, and I always tell fans, whoever's listening, like, you got to come to Clearwater for spring training. If you've never done it, but you're on your bucket list, you maybe try to get down next year. It's a fun time. Well, it's just an unbelievable place, Clearwater. You have Clearwater Beach. This ballpark's the best in the minor leagues. There's so many great things. But then you're right. It's also that time of year when the basketball right now, everybody's watching, you know, TVs at the bars, and it's just a great time of the year to be down here.
All right, so we went NCAA basketball before we get back into baseball. I'm not sure if you've been following so much, but who's your pick to win it all? If you had to pick one team to win it all.
It's easy.
You're gonna pick Villanova.
Repeat. It's gonna happen, John. I feel it.
You're feeling it, Josh Hart again.
Josh Hart, Brunson, those guys. I know they've kind of been carrying the team a little bit,
right?
A little bit, but. You know, they play the defense. I love them, and I'm going to be pulling for them.
You know, the team that scares me, as you know, I went to the University of Virginia.
So
I watch a lot of ACC basketball, and this is not a surprise because they just won the ACC.
Yeah.
But Duke is just coming
good.
On. I mean, they had a tough season where Coach K was out, and they had a lot of their young guys, their freshmen, hurt. Giles. And I tell you what, the Sixers better be paying attention to Jason Tatum because that guy has been
a beast
the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, he beat up on Virginia about 3 weeks ago. He's been beating up on every team. He's averaging over 20 points, you know, his last four or five games. The guy does everything. So I think Duke between Kennard and I hate to say it because I do not like Duke, Grayson Allen. But I think, you know, Kansas City, even though they lost in their tournament, or Kansas City, University of Kansas, even though they lost in their tournament, obviously, you got a Villanova. It'll be interesting to see what Gonzaga brings to the table, or one of those West Coast teams, UCLA with Lorenzo Ball, or whether it's Oregon. You know, there's a lot of teams. Maybe, who knows, Wisconsin. Michigan State's going to sneak in. Michigan's actually having a good run right now, their resurgence. So it'll be fun. I love college basketball this time of year, and especially being down here following it, it's a lot of fun. All right, guess who was in the house? You mentioned 70s. Philly 70s.
I know the answer to this. How about Manny Trio?
One of my favorite players growing up.
Me too.
It was Manny Trio and Steve Carlton, I think, were my two favorite players. I just love when the ball would get to Manny Trio, he'd suck it up, he'd wait like 10 seconds, and then he'd hitch a little bit and then fire it over to Pete Rose or whoever was playing first.
Yeah, it was great seeing him. I saw him on the broadcast, and they were even saying on the broadcast, boy, he hasn't changed at all. He looks just like he did back in the day. Your National League Championship Series MVP, right? 1980. He had a couple of those big hits against Houston, and I love Manny Trejo too.
He is, as he said in the broadcast, he's tight with Freddy Galvez, both from Venezuela. So he was a guest of Freddy Galvez. Freddy, I mean, he lives in the Florida area, but I think he lives out towards Orlando, which is not too far away. But he came here as a guest of Freddy Galvez, and he talked about, you know, how much he loves Freddy Galvez. So it's good to see that. While we were on break, we have some breaking news with a fight in Phils. And it's not really breaking news because we knew it was going to happen. But this is the time when minor league camp's been open for about a week. And this is the time when we sent guys down, not because they didn't have a good camp, but it's because we want to get more at-bats. You know, you start getting numbers. I mean, we still have 58 players in camp after these moves. So we Reese Hoskins, we talked about earlier, who had a terrific year in AA, 39 home runs, second most in the minors. He was sent to AAA camp. Scott Kingery, who had a fantastic, and Reese Hoskins did too, a fantastic spring. He opened up a lot of eyes, made some great plays in the infield, second base, second round draft pick out of Arizona. had a couple home runs. Chase Namada, catcher, and Andrew Pullen, a guy that they really like. Was a high draft pick, got out of baseball, got a smooth swing. So we sent those four guys down. Again, we now have 58 players in camp, and I'm sure there's going to be other changes as we get further and further along. But 58 players is still a lot in camp.
A lot of players. I guess the one guy that sticks out for me is Kingery. And I guess being, you know, John, as you know, we know what the organization thinks of Scott Kingery. Second round pick a couple of years ago, and they love this guy, and it was really cool to see him at spring training this year really show everybody else why our organization loves him. You know, he really could be our second baseman of the future.
He could be, and as Scott Francie said, he's one of those guys, like a lot like Hoskins and Pheasants, that didn't look overwhelmed. Certainly didn't look overwhelmed. He had a great camp, so it's nice to see these guys. I think the toughest part is for a young player is to feel like they belong in the camp. It's intimidating. I mean, you're up there playing against guys or playing with guys or against guys that you followed as a kid. And so to feel like you belong in the same field, you really need that confidence and then go further. So it's nice to see that. We made a move today as well, Tom. I don't know if you heard this.
Yes.
But I'm not sure if the Fanatic is, I'd like to say, we can use him as amphibious.
Amphibious.
As Shaq said.
That's right.
But we acquired a relief pitcher. You probably read about it, Pat Venditti, who pitches left-handed and right-handed. How about that? His dad thought growing up that it would be very valuable to learn both hands, make him more versatile. Probably not expecting he's going to get to the majors, but here's a guy who can throw just as well with his left hand as his right hand. And we traded him for outfielder, minor leaguer Joey Curletta, who we got as part of the Carlos Ruiz trade to Los Angeles Dodgers. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen here.
And it's cool because he's got his own rule named after him.
The Pat Venditti rule.
Yeah, he has to announce for every batter to the home plate umpire if he's going to be pitching right or left.
Right.
And
you can't switch within a bat.
And you can't switch.
But he can switch it the
correct.
Following batter.
Correct. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's really cool. So he is currently playing with Team Italy. So, you know, if they get knocked out, he'll be in camp and he'll be – I'm sure the media's going to love that. Just what a great media story, Pat Venditti. He played for the A's in 2015, played for the Blue Jays and the Mariners in 2016.
He was with the did the Yankees draft him? He was definitely with the Yankees at some point.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the Yankees tried to draft him a couple times. I think they finally drafted him after three times. But 4.97 ERA in Major League Baseball. We'll see, but just it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see the guy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Does he have two gloves out there? Like, how's that work?
That's a great question because, yeah, he must have. Well, he must have.
Where does he keep the other
glove?
Could
he have one glove that could switch to both?
I don't know.
Somehow, because what happens if he does switch the? What is he gonna get a glove from the from the clubhouse kid to run out there?
I don't get it.
That's a question. Inquiring minds want to know. we'll have to see. But yes, we. We acquired an amphibious. I just love the fact that Shaq said that. Amphibious pitcher. All right, let's talk about also, we talked about it a little bit, but the World Baseball Classic. There's been some controversy. There's been some excitement. I don't know if you heard this. Yadier Molina, he blasted MLB's security arrangement for the families and players at the WBCB or WBC. They were playing in Mexico, and there was a fight that broke out in the family section in Mexico. And the players were watching it, and they couldn't do anything about it. And, you know, obviously you have your family members up there. Yadier Molina was not happy and you know, tweeted out, put on the Instagram. But from a good point of view, I tell you what, we talked about Team Israel. 4-0, they beat Cuba. Would you ever thought that, you know, and they're not stacked with Major League players. They've got Ryan LaVarnway. They got Ike Davis. They got Jason Marquis, who pitched. Josh Zide, who we actually had in our camp. And it's just unbelievable that they're.
It is crazy.
A lot of those guys are double A, single guys.
Yeah. Has Israel always been part of the WBC?
I don't remember them being in the tournament. This might be their first time.
It's amazing.
And I love the other one where you got guys, Ryan Dempster, Eric Gagne, Bruce Chen. They're all playing the WBC. I mean, Ryan Dempster, how about that? He's a 16-year Major League Baseball player. He turns 40 in May. He's a special assistant for the Cubs, and he's the analyst on MLB Network. He last pitched for Boston in 2013, and there he is. He's out there pitching. So, and they say Gagne actually might—he's doing so well that he might be auditioning for a job Eric Gagne.
Yeah, like, he's been out of the game for 8 years. Is that something like
that? Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 8 years.
Right.
But the level of competition, I mean, it almost sounds like, oh, it's like a beer league. But it's not that. The level of competition is unbelievable. And, you know, it's funny. The fans, I hope they get a chance to see it. It's really MLB Network is really playing it up. But when you see, you know, the excitement level of the players and the fans in these different ballparks, it's pretty cool.
All right, coming up on the show, we will talk. We have to get to the Fanatic. We'll tell some Fanatic stories. You're listening to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. We are live from Clearwater, Florida.
We now return to Spectrum Field in Clearwater, Florida for the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. Now, here are your hosts.
The friend of the Philly Fanatic, Tom Burgoyne, and John Brazier.
All right, we are back to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. We are live from Spectrum Field in Clearwater, Florida. Again, coming off a Fightin' Phil's walk-off win against the Red Sox. Just to give you a little update on the World Baseball Classic, if you're interested, the Dominican Republic did take an 8-3 lead. But Alfaro, again, had the game-tying home run, but then you're not going to be able to hold down Dominican Republic. That is a scary team. Big game tonight for USA. They take on Canada. They beat Canada. They move on to the next round. They still could lose in different scenarios, and then you get into tiebreakers. But a dramatic game last night with Dominican Republic rallying from five-run deficit. Nelson Cruz, a huge three-run home run off of all people, Andrew Miller. So you would think Andrew Miller would be that shutdown guy. He gave up actually two home runs. We talked about how the crowd went nuts. So I think it's just been a lot of fun. But now, let's talk about Philly Fanatic. Philly Fanatic is down here the whole time. He's been coming down to spring training for like 4 years now?
Yeah, this is the fourth year that the Fanatic's been here for all the games. You know, the Fanatic used to always come down for opening day, maybe another game in the middle of the spring, but this is his fourth year doing all the games. He loves it.
What's the best part that the Fanatic loves about that being down here?
Well, he's from the Galapagos, so he's used to the tropical weather, absolutely. Loves the fans. You know, I've seen him out on the beach sunning himself on the days off. It's not a pretty sight.
Right.
But
what are some of his favorite players for the Phillies to mess with?
Well, he has fun with Cameron Rupp. Rupp's kind of he's really one of the team leaders now, you know, and the Fanatic. And, you know, he's got muscles coming out of his ears, and the Fanatic always likes to have a little fun with Rupp. And, all these guys. It's so cool. The Fanatic, you know, he's in the tunnel that leads out onto the field down the left field line. You know, you see Greg Murphy.
Interviews.
On the air. He always does his interviews there. Well, that's where the Fanatic comes out on his ATV. But that's also where the clubhouse is and the players come out. And to a man, it's pretty funny. When, you know, just before the game, the Fanatic's revving up his ATV, and they are coming out, and it's always it's like good luck. You know, it's almost like
you're part of the team.
Yeah. You know, it's
Guys are probably really super excited to meet the Fanatic.
It's funny. Right? You know, this is the 40th year that the Fanatic is, he came from the Galapagos 40 seasons ago. So this is the 40th season. And, the Fanatic is much older than some of them.
But the Fanatic's like Benjamin Button. He gets younger as the older he gets.
Very true. He doesn't age anymore, John. He's kind of eternally a 9-year-old kid.
Right.
And, he loves it down here. Oh, my gosh.
All right, well, let's talk about the Fanatic up north because you guys are not you guys. The Fanatic has some tremendous giveaways this season for fans up north in Philadelphia.
You know, we really pride ourselves, John, on our giveaways every year. And this year, the Fanatic giveaways in particular are just awesome. So, yeah, let me, for folks out there who have kids and they want to come down to the ballpark, to come down on a day where we're kind of highlighting the Fanatic is always a lot of fun. Of course, the first one is April 23rd. That is the Citizens Bank Fanatic birthday, and we got this act coming in called Flipping Out, and it's a really great trampoline act. These guys have broken records for the height that they can get on a trampoline. It's pretty cool, but we're also giving away to kids 14 and under, a great baseball cap. It's got a great big picture of the Fanatic on it. It's going to be real popular. May 6th, we're doing our Comcast Fanatic About Reading program.
Max reading a lot of books.
Yeah, a lot of books. This will be the 15th kids book. It's called The Philly Fanatic's Greatest Rain Delay Ever. And all kids 14 and under are going to receive that book. That's always a fun night. July 30th, this is a good one. Good old Community Energy stepped up to the plate, John. And they are sponsoring the Fanatic Solar Bobble Body.
Well, you're going to have to explain that one.
It's a handful. It's a mouthful, I should say. But it's really cool. It's this figurine that sits on your desk or whatever, and it's solar powered. So the Fanatic is constantly, as long as there's some light in the room, it charges the Fanatic, and he basically sways back and forth 24 hours a day if the lights are on or it's being exposed to sunlight.
Which is similar to the live Fanatic, because if the light is on, which normally is out there in the sun, well, his belly bobbles.
The Fanatic is a red light player.
Yes.
I mean, there's no question about it. So that is a classic, thanks to community.
And what's the date on that one?
That's July 30th.
Okay.
We're pumped about that. And then this one I'm totally pumped on. It's August 27th, ShopRite Fanatic Back to School Alarm Clock. And the alarm clock is like the
old school yeah.
round alarm clock with the two bells on the top. And it's a picture of the Fanatic in the middle and then his arm. Just like did you ever have a Mickey Mouse watch?
Yes.
You know, so the Fanatic arms are the hands on the clock. And it's a great giveaway item. And I'll mention one other one because, you know, I don't know if fans know. And we're starting to do theme nights more and more. You know, all the different heritage nights
right. And
different cool things that we do. And, of course, Star Wars is a big theme night that we do every year. And so if you go on phillies.com/theme nights, you see all the great other giveaway items, the discounts, all the other fun stuff we're doing. And on June 21st, we're having another Star Wars night. It's become one of our most popular theme nights. And if you go online to that phillies.com/theme night, you get a bobblehead doll of the Fanatic,
right?
And he's dressed as like a stormtrooper,
wow,
like the original Star Wars, that outfit that Luke Skywalker wears when he blows up the Death Star. The Fanatic's got that outfit on,
and that's a limited giveaway.
Yeah, it's a limited giveaway.
You might want to start thinking about getting on it now,
absolutely,
because that's not an overall fan. That is
correct. You got to go on the theme night page, but it's going to be another great year, John. I'm pumped.
Well, Tom, I really appreciate it, and that wraps up today's Baseball Insider Show. Presented by SEPTA, I'd like to thank my co-host today, the great Tom Burgoyne. Thank you, Tom.
All right, John.
Best friend of the Fanatic. Also, our guest today, Scott Fransky, and our engineer, Ed Pandino. Ed, always thank you very much. And back in the studio, we wouldn't be able to do the show, especially the live drop-in with the great Jack Urban. Thank you, Jack. We'll be back next Sunday after the Phils take on the Tampa Rays. Until then, have a great week. And as the late, great Harry DeCal says,
we are out of here.
You've been listening to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA, an exclusive presentation of 1490 AM WBCB, and heard around the world at WBCB1490.com.